Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. Are you looking for practical ministry help to drive your ministry further, faster? Have a sinking feeling that your ministry training didn't prepare you for the real world? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in pursuit of stuff that we wish they had taught in seminary. Buckle up and let's get started with this week's Unseminary Podcast.
Well, hey everybody, welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. My name is Rich, the host here, and I am so glad that you have decided to tune in. I'm looking forward to talking today with today's lead pastor, Jeff Manis from, this is from Cheyenne, Wyoming. I think you're the first leader from Wyoming we've had on the podcast. I think. Apologize for the rest of the Wyoming.
That's folks. Awesome.
which is wonderful. So I feel like we have a lot of mutual friends as we've kind of swum in similar circles. Jeff is the founding and lead pastor of a church you should be following called Element Church in Wyoming. This church has grown to about 1,500 people. It's an incredible church. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Rich. I'm honored to be here. Appreciate it.
Well, I know I'm excited for this. I know we have mutual friends at Enjoy who are just great people, love the Enjoy guys. So, and when I asked them, who are some people I should be talking to? You are literally at the top of their list. So
that's awesome.
Which is great. So Jeff, why don't you tell us about Element Church? What's going on?
Yeah, we're a little over 10 years old, turned 10 years old in October of 2017. So we moved here, started Element Church from scratch. And God's just done some amazing things in our midst. If you came on a Sunday, we're a pretty eclectic bunch. One of our prayers is that God would bring us people that nobody else wants. And he's answered that for us. So we have.
What does that say about you, Jeff? What does that say about you? I'm just kidding.
It says I'm a odd catch for a lead pastor.
That's cool.
For sure.
That's really cool. Love that.
But we bus in homeless people on Sundays. Mm. We got white collar, blue collar. We have a bunch of guys from the transitional center out of prison. So it really is an eclectic bunch that comes to our church that you'd find on a typical Sunday. Yeah. Hmm.
Very cool. Now, one of the things I've noticed from afar is, you know, and this is no longer video, but you're wearing one today. I love Wyoming. You seem to just love your community. That's, if I would say one of the things that kind of, as a person looking from afar in at Element, you just seem to just love Cheyenne. You just love the community. And can you tell us about that? What has been your kind of journey as a leader and then as a church towards that?
Yeah, that really what kind of sparked the calling for us to even plant a church was I had just seen, and I know this is not the case in every community or every church, but there's just this growing sentiment, at least where we were at, that people could have cared less if the church existed. Mm-hmm. And so I said, that's first of all, a shame,
right?
But we want to be the kind of church that if we were gone, the community would miss it,
right?
You know, make that kind of tangible impact. And so when we started Element, we just said from day one, we want to be the kind of church that if we were gone, we'd be missed. That's our vision.
Very cool.
To be a life-giving movement of people having such an impact, if we were gone, we'd be missed. Huh. So from day one, we just said, we have to start by being an asset to our community and letting them know, hey, we're here for you, not the other way around. So we came into the church plant with that mentality of before we ever hold a service, we want to serve. Hmm. And that's what we did. We Amazing. Started out serving our community from day one. We started with six people in my basement. the first outreach project we did, we were calling family and friends from out of town. We had college students driving from over at the university in Laramie in Wyoming. Yeah. We were like recruiting anybody and everybody to come serve for our first outreach event that we did.
Yeah. Why don't we talk about that? Let's start there. What, you know, because there may be church leaders that are listening in today that are in church plants and they're like, we can't do anything. This feels like the kind of area where people are like, well, we got to get to 500 people before we can do this.
Yeah.
So where did you start? What was the first thing you did when you kind of reached out?
Well, the first thing we did, so we came, there's six of us here that helped start the church, and we didn't know a soul.
Amazing.
Like we were starting a church, but we didn't have a church yet.
Right.
And so we just decided through coaching that was offered to me, I wouldn't have probably done this on my own, but had a great coach that just said, you need to find out what the community needs in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so we started, which many guys do this when they plant, started interviewing leaders in the community. Mm-hmm. So we came up with what we called 11 spheres of influence, 11 circles in the community, found out what the leaders were in those areas. So politics, religion, education, military, we have an Air Force base here in town, medical field, all that stuff. There's 11 spheres of influence, dozens of leaders, and just split them all up between the six of us on the team and said, let's ask for 30 minutes of these folks' time, and let's just ask them questions. I think we had seven or eight questions What does Cheyenne need in your opinion? How can a church meet that need? Hmm. Well, through those conversations, I met with the local Parks and Recreation director, and he answered questions like everybody else. But when I asked, like, well, what can we do to serve? His first response, and I don't know if this was true or not, but it was his, at least his perception. But his first response is, I've been doing this for X number of years. I've never had a church offer to help us do anything.
Right.
I said, well,
that's amazing.
First of all, I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah.
But second of all, that with our church, that's going to change. And so the city was doing an Easter egg hunt and they needed some help. And mm-hmm. so we offered to help serve at that Easter egg hunt. What's funny is that was our first outreach opportunity. And it only in Wyoming does this happen, but the Easter egg hunt got canceled by snow. So right. we didn't serve, but a relationship was established.
Yes. Right.
And that relationship specifically has grown into just a phenomenal relationship we have with our city.
Yeah, let's talk about that. There's a couple things I want to pull apart there. I love this idea of sitting down with leaders in, you know, kind of various community spheres. How did those conversations, you know, were you fairly good success rate in actually getting through the people? How did you get into that? I've done a similar thing before and actually have found people are willing to actually sit down with you.
Yeah.
So tell me through, how did that actually go? How did those conversations take place?
Yeah, we literally just looked up their name and number on the internet. Would mm-hmm. just call them and introduce ourselves. Hey, I'm Jeff Maniff, starting a church here in town. Would love to have 30 minutes of your time.
Right.
And you pick the time and we'll make it happen.
Yeah.
And we just want to ask you some questions and learn more about you and about our community. Hmm. And so that's what we did. And not everybody, most people that we called said yes. Mm-hmm. What's funny is it was the biggest resistance we had was from church leaders in town.
Unfortunately.
Everybody else is pretty open to it. But mm-hmm. then one of the key things that we did was we honored that 30 minutes.
Yep.
So if we only got through two of the eight questions, we stopped.
Right.
And just say, hey, we asked for 30 minutes. We're going to honor that. Thanks for your time. We always asked them, is there anything we can pray for you mm-hmm. about? Mm-hmm. Most people say, oh, no, that's good. Mm-hmm. We've actually had several people that said no, but then after the official interview, they said, hey, there is something going on that you could pray for. Mm,
interesting.
That's been awesome.
Right.
So almost everybody we talked to was very open to, yeah, you can take 30 minutes and we learned all sorts of stuff. I mean, a lot of our events, our back to school bash that we do every year, mm-hmm. we did a short term affordable housing project for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. Almost every project we've done has come out of those conversations.
Right.
Where we listened to the leaders and they just told us, this is something I see that's missing. And we just try to fill the gap.
Right.
It's been amazing.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I think an encouragement to people who are listening in today, that alone could be a great takeaway that, hey, what if,
yeah.
as novel as it sounds, what if we actually ask people,
yeah.
what is it that, yep. you know, where is it that, you know, you think the community need help? We had a similar thing happen. One of our campuses, we had sent our campus pastors and what we had cast it as is, you know, try to get the meeting with kind of the person at the top of the totem pole of the
yep.
in town. And so yeah. like, if you can get the mayor, that's great. But if you can't get that, maybe the superintendent and, you know, and just yep. basically, and ask the same question, what can we do to help? And same kind of thing. I think the 30 yeah. minute thing, I think is a key piece of that puzzle. We're very, very good. And yeah. we had same thing, this one mayor, you know, they went in, the campus pastor went in, a friend of mine, Peter Goeski, went and was in front of him. And he said, hey, what can we do to help? We had said, we've got this number of volunteers for this amount of time. We've got some money we'd love to spend. What should we do with it?
Yeah.
And the mayor, same thing, leaned back in his chair and said, every person that comes into this room is looking something from me. Every
yeah.
person that comes in here, they are all trying to take something from me. I don't think I've ever had anyone come and ask to give me something.
That's amazing. And so, yep. Absolutely.
And actually he said, I don't want to just knee jerk reaction respond. I'd love to think about it and get back to you and,
yeah.
and actually come with a considered thing. So I that would be yep. an encouragement. Now you had referenced this kind of a growing relationship with the Parks and Rec. What happened from there, from the first canceled Easter egg hunt?
Yeah.
Where did it go from there?
Yeah, it's grown. So the city does a big event called, I don't think they even do it anymore now, but it was called Super Day. Yep. It was on National Recreation Day. Nice. Where they open up the biggest park in town and just have all sorts of vendors and games and yep. whatnot. Well, again, through that conversation, again, I don't know if this is true or not, but it's what was told to us mm-hmm. that no one had ever offered free right. games for kids. Like you had to buy a ticket and mm-hmm. ride the inflatable slide or whatever.
Money off of it.
Yeah. So we just came in and said, hey, we'll provide free games.
Right.
So we rented 4 inflatable games, and for the community, we offered those at Super Day. Well, now every game is free at Super Day.
You changed the market.
Cool. Yeah. It's cool because I look back and I was like, we may have been the ones that changed that whole thing.
Right.
That's so cool. So that led to that. Then we found out, man, they need to kind of freshen up some of the parks, put new wood chips in the playgrounds. Mm-hmm. They just don't have the manpower. Mm-hmm. They're paying people to do more important things.
Yes.
So there was one year we literally, well, I don't know how many parks we went in and moved tons and tons of wood chips. Hmm. We painted literally miles of fence in our town. Because we just found, we asked them every year, what do you need? We need fence that just needs to be stained. Right. We just need to stain fence. I mean, and we all wear, you know, our I Heart Wyoming shirts. Yeah. We go out there and we got kids and families literally painting miles of fence.
That's amazing.
And it sounds so insignificant. Like it, well, that's not making an impact. Well, it is to the city.
Mm-hmm.
We would have saved them how many thousands of dollars or millions over the years by giving them free manpower.
Yeah,
they can use their manpower other places. So it's just every year we end up, you know, graffiti cleanup, mm-hmm. picking up trash, just helping the city out. Hey, we're here for you. And that relationship with that Parks and Rec specifically has been a gold mine for us. It's been awesome.
Yeah. And you kind of hinted about it there. Let me play the devil's advocate here for a little bit. I know there's people that are listening in and they're saying, listen, come on. This is it's sideways energy. This is not, you know, this is really what the church shouldn't be doing this stuff. Like, you know, it really should just be about like, let's run services and, you know, do that. Now your church has seen growth. So it's clearly making some sort of impact. How do you see that fitting together from your seat as a kind of lead pastor? How do those all fit together?
Yep. Our outreach perspective, and this is not the right way, it's just the way we do it, is we're going to serve with no strings attached. Mm-hmm. So every event we do not present the gospel unless it's asked of us. There's no bait and switch like, hey, we're going to give out free shoes at our back to school bash. But you got to first listen to this message.
Right.
No, we're just going to give you free backpacks, school supplies. At our back-to-school batch every year, we give out 2,000 backpacks.
That's incredible. Wow.
Filled with all the school supplies for their class and a brand new pair of New Balance tennis shoes.
Very cool.
We partnered with New Balance Corporate. They caught wind of it and sent one of their executives out, and we get shoes for dirt cheap from New Balance.
Right.
It was an amazing connection.
That's amazing. That's so cool.
It all happened through a local shoe store. Anyway, we do all of that and just say, we invite them to church.
Right.
But it's kind of like, we're not going to listen to a message first and then we'll give you the loaves and fishes.
Right, right.
We're giving you the loaves and fishes and we're going to ask you to come to church.
Interesting.
I would say the majority of people that have come to our church that are unchurched, that's the reason why.
Right.
Either someone in our church invited them or they were served in an outreach event. Hmm. I would say it's probably the key contributing factor to our growth from 6 to 1,500 in 10 years is the fact that people just see us out in the community regularly saying, we're here for you, not the other way around.
Right. Yeah, that's amazing. You know, I wrote this book on church growth that I released earlier this year. And one of the things I talked about was this idea of mass mobilization, getting people out to serve in their community. Yeah. And what we're seeing time and time again in fast growing churches, and I don't think a lot of people are talking about it. They're not saying like, hey, they just see that as like some sidebar thing. But I actually think it's core to reaching unchurched people. Can you talk to us a little bit about that side of you? Kind of hinted at that there.
Yep.
Talk through what does that look like for an average person? How are they, you know, how are they actually making that connection? What does that look like?
Yeah. So, I mean, we talk about it constantly. It is one of the core things of our church. So for our regular church person, every single week, this is a side note here, but it kind of connects. Like we do an offering teaching, we call it every single Sunday where, hey, we're about to receive the offering. If you're new, don't feel obligated, all that stuff that you should say. But then we always tie that into, hey, here's where your dollar's been going, or here's what you guys did in the community because of your generosity. We gave away these backpacks. We served the community. We did the Easter egg and all that kind of stuff. So every single Sunday, our people are hearing the impact that this stuff is having in the community. Mm-hmm. But for the person outside of our church, like it's been funny on our Facebook page, we have had atheists defend our church to critical people.
That's amazing.
Saying, I don't go to church there, but look at what they're doing.
Right.
Like, stop attacking them.
That's
they're doing
amazing. That's amazing.
It's unbelievable.
Right.
So there are people in our community who won't come to our church, but they're our biggest fans.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're promoting us to other people. Like, hey, I don't go to church, but if I did go to church, I'd go
to
Elm.
That's the kind of church I want to go to.
Yeah, because they're out in the community doing this. That's been the biggest kind of where I've noticed that vision is connecting with not just our people. That's the easy part, getting our hearts attached to it, because they're already here. But when we start seeing atheists or not unchurched people, they might say they believe in God, but they don't go to church, defending us.
It's huge.
Now I know we're doing the right thing when they are recognizing what we do.
It's huge. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think the people in the community will see this, and we see this time and time again. We talk with church leaders that are doing the kind of thing you're doing. People in the community see it as a good thing. We see it as a God thing.
Yes, absolutely.
But we can meet at that point and say, hey, we all live in this town. Maybe we could do stuff together in this city to try to make our city better. Now, you guys were nominated for an award recently. Yeah. Tell me about that.
Dude, it's awesome because I got another update. So I told you that we were nominated. The Cheyenne Chamber of Commerce has this big award ceremony every year. There's three finalists for every category. Well, we were named a finalist for the nonprofit of the year.
That's amazing.
In Cheyenne.
Okay, let's just stop for a second here. Just stop for a second.
Yeah.
I don't want people to roll over this. So a church, so many parts of our community in so many parts of the country, the church is increasingly marginalized and increasingly doesn't have a voice at the table, is seen as kind of irrelevant. But here you guys are being recognized as like, hey, here's an organization. You guys should feel good about that. That's amazing. Cool.
We were the first church ever nominated.
Wow, that's incredible.
So then last Friday, we were at the awards banquet. Yep. We all go there.
Did you have to wear a tie? Did you have to wear a tie?
I did not. I wore a sport coat though.
Nice.
I did wear a sport with sneakers. But we won. We won the award.
Oh, that's amazing. That's fantastic.
So, unbelievable. We're going to celebrate it with our church here on the weekend service. And so not only were we the first church nominated, but in that same year, we win the award. And we're at this banquet with literally the movers and shakers of our community.
Yes.
Probably 600 people at this very high-end, high-class banquet.
Yep.
And I get to go up on the platform, receive the award, and talk about Jesus. Mm-hmm. They asked me to pray for the event.
Fantastic.
I don't know if they normally pray every year, but we prayed at this year's event.
The pastor's here. Gotta pray.
It was unbelievable. It was like, we're going to celebrate it like crazy with our church, but it was a physical manifestation of our vision taking place, which is unbelievable.
Again, people, I don't want you to miss this. So church leaders, like Jeff, you should be encouraged by that. That is an incredible thing. I know, you know, it's not just a trophy. It's not just like a, you know, something you put on a shelf. That's literally your community saying, wow, what is happening over there at that church makes an impact on our entire city. And that's amazing. And, you know, congratulations, obviously
Thank you.
For you guys. That's what a fun, you know, kind of piece of the story, and fun to see 10 years later from six people like, hey, I wonder if there's a way. And literally to see this is a part of why I got excited about this, literally to see your mission come to into fruition. You're like, hey, we're, and I know for you, you're like, it's just another day at church, but you know, we want to be the kind of church that if we left, people would notice. And they would now, because they're like, whatever happened to those guys? They were here, you know, which is incredible. That's amazing.
It was. I walked off that platform. It was surreal. I didn't think we were going to win. I thought, hey, this is awesome. We're the first church to be nominated. That's honoring enough. And then we won. And I walked off that platform. I was moved to tears.
Oh man.
Like, man, this is 10 years ago. This is why we came.
Right.
It was unbelievable.
That's well, that's great. That's what an incredible, literally, you know, getting influence and gaining, you know, relationships and, you know, getting on the radar of your town. And, you know, my impression now, you know, correct me on this. My impression is that, you know, Cheyenne, Wyoming, in general, it's not exactly the Bible Belt. This is not exactly like, hey, this is the kind of place where people wake up on a Sunday and think they should go to church.
No, it's far from that. Wyoming's actually the ninth largest unchurched state in America. Wow. They had to combine populations with Montana to make, because our population wasn't big enough.
Yeah.
But according to the latest Pew research I knew of, that was the case, ninth largest. From the information we have, there's out of the 585,000 people in Wyoming, so we're super small, like micro rural. But out of those 585,000, 340,000 claim none as their religion.
Wow, that's amazing.
If you include then the LDS Church, it would make over four. That's probably the largest church in Wyoming. That would make it over 400,000 people.
Wow.
Who are not connected to a Jesus-centered church.
Right. Okay, this is the part of why I want people to hear this. So I know there's like anxiety across the country around the rise of the nuns. There's a lot of conversation about that. A lot of people are worried about that. But here, you know, at Element, we're talking about a practical tactic that is working to see, you know, this church connect with people in their community. And in a community that's not, you know, super Bible Belt, it's not the buckle of the Bible Belt by any means. Yep. It's nowhere near that. And, you know, again, seeing this as a way to reach out, that's incredible, Jeff.
Yeah, it's awesome. And we're actually expanding that. Like we have a heart for the whole state.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Yeah, so we started a new initiative last year called the I Heart Wyoming Initiative. Mm-hmm. But we just see, like, we have a desire to impact the state, not just Cheyenne. Mm-hmm. Cheyenne's part of it. Mm-hmm. But as we're now seeing the vision fulfilled here, we're expanding beyond the state. So we said we're going to give away $100,000 to as many different churches as we can, $100,000 total in $10,000 increments. We just want to come alongside churches and say, how can we partner with you to start making this number go down?
Right.
Like, we have so many unchurched people. It's like a mission field waiting to happen. Mm-hmm. So we opened it up. We kind of spread the word throughout the different connections we had. And we partnered last year with 14 different churches, gave away $100,000, came alongside them to serve their community in a tangible way. We're doing it again this year. Our goal this year is to partner with 20 churches. The long-term goal is to have a partner church in all 23 counties. There's 23 counties in Wyoming. And we're well on our way. That was a 10-year goal starting last year. We already partnered with 14. So
amazing.
You can go to iHeartWyoming.com.
This is amazing.
We're excited.
I would encourage people to do that for sure. So that's iHeartWyoming.com. You check that out. And the thing I love here, you've provided real practical examples. Like here's, you know, some practical stuff you can do, some projects, examples, videos, you know, talks about all the different partners, you know, a prayer initiative, you know, frequently asked questions. There's a whole bunch there, which is just wonderful. This is, I think this is pretty amazing. Now, what would you say to a church leader today? So I'm hope we move people who are listening in today from like, I don't know if I should do this stuff to like, I should do something. What would you say would be an initial step? Would you say suggest the kind of let's go to the community leaders? Would you say, hey, why don't you try, you know, some sort of practical service event? What would you say would be some initial, you know, steps?
Yeah, I would, for me, if it was me, if doing it all over again, I would definitely go back to a city leader. That's where you got to start. I think too often we try to reinvent the wheel in the church. There's already stuff happening that we can just help with.
Right.
So instead of coming up necessarily with a brand new event, or sometimes we do service projects that maybe aren't even needed. We just think they're cool.
Yeah, it's true.
So I think it starts with the community leaders. And then I would say this too, like, don't be afraid of those, what we would call insignificant things. Mm. Like, painting fence was an important thing for our community. Mm-hmm. It didn't save anybody per se, but there's people that have come to our church because we painted a stinking fence.
Right. Absolutely.
So there is a spiritual thing attached to it. So I would say, start there with your community leaders. Find two or three of them. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go to dozens of them. Find one.
Right.
Like find the highest person you can get to in your community and ask them.
Yep.
What does this community need? How can we help? What do you need? How can we help?
Yeah, absolutely. And
you'll be amazed what God opens up, man. There's a verse in Proverbs. Proverbs 18. But giving gifts opens doors to important people. Giving gifts gives access to important people. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that. Like we have had a seat with the governor of Wyoming. We've had a seat with every mayor in office. We've had seats with every person of influence. Mm-hmm. I think it all goes back to the fact that we gave gifts.
Right. Absolutely. And there's a connection there between painting fences and that, right? That those, and I think in a very real way, the fact that people have seen you do it time and time again, it's not like, here was this time we did this one thing once. It's you stuck with it and again, we're seeing that kind of across the board. There are churches that are committed to this as an approach. The folks that are seeing it have impact is you know, they're on a regular basis. They're trying to find ways to serve their community, you know, a towel over the arm, bending down, washing feet in whatever way. they can. This has been great.
Absolutely. This is the Unseminary Podcast. Stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
Well, we're going to jump into the lightning round. That part of the episode, we ask similar questions of everybody that's on the episode today. It's been our honor to have Jeff Manis with us from Element Church in Wyoming. You really should be following along. This church has some great stuff going on there. Jeff, what is an online resource that you're using these days that's helping you in your ministry?
We're using a thing called Right Now Media. It's like a small group resource. It's been incredible for us. There is a cost attached to it, but literally all of our small group dollars goes towards Right Now Media. We push every one of our small groups to it, and on there are literally thousands of online Bible studies, resources, sermons, et cetera. Almost every popular book that comes out, they put a resource on there for video, small group curriculum. I use it for the small group I lead. My wife does as well. It's fantastic. We love it. Right Now Media.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know if they'd like it, I say this, but it's kind of like the Netflix of you know, church resources. It really
That's
is
what we
incredible.
Call it.
Yeah, it's an incredible amount of resource. It's great for sure. What's a book you've read in the last, I don't know, maybe 6 months to a year that's shaping your thinking and ministry?
People to Be Loved by Preston Sprinkle. The tagline with it is Why Homosexuality is More Than Just an Issue. And he's got another book as well called Living in a Gray World. It's written for teens, but similar aspect. We had our whole staff go through it. And in today's culture where LGBTQ people, and it's kind of like this is the issue for the church, I think, to to master. That's been an incredible, incredible resource for us. And really changed a lot of the way we're thinking.
That's very good. Yeah, I'll have to check that out. What's another ministry you look to that inspires you or you're kind of watching closely?
Pastor Donnie Griggs in One Harbor Church.
Oh, fantastic.
I believe they're in North Carolina. His leadership and insight for rural ministry is amazing. Brilliant. We had our staff go through his book as well, Small Town Jesus.
Small Town Jesus,
But for us in a rural setting, that's been a gold mine for us as well. So we love him and his ministry.
Yeah, absolutely. Donnie was on the podcast, a great leader. For sure. I point people to him all the time when people ask, you know, in small towns, I'm like, you should really talk to Donnie. He knows what he's talking
about.
If you could get 15 minutes with any leader alive, who would you want to get that with and why?
This one is purely personal and selfish, but I'd love to sit down with Owen McManus from Mosaic Church in L.A. It was his book, The Barbarian Way, that God used to open my heart to plant a church.
Really?
So, I just love his perspective on the local church and on preaching. He's a phenomenal communicator. And to get 15 minutes with him just to say thank you would be amazing. He doesn't even know it, but his book started this church.
Very cool. That's really neat. That's fantastic. The in your personal life, I know, you know, leading a growing church is hard and difficult, takes a lot of energy. What do you do just for fun when you want to kick back, relax, you know, have a good time?
I'm a boring person, so I love TV and movies, man. In the ministry, your work is so mental and emotional that just unplugging is the best way for me. So my wife and I were movie TV junkies. We love doing that. I'm also a sports junkie, diehard Oklahoma Sooner fan.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Cause I won't tell people what your Skype thing is, but I didn't make the connection cause that's in a part of it. And I was like, I don't know, what is this? Sooner. I was like, okay, great. But that's cool. That making that connection there now. Okay, cool. Good. That's fun. What's a TV show you're really into right now? What's the show?
This Is Us is our, my wife and I show, which is like America's show now.
Right. Absolutely.
But This Is Us. I'm a huge Blacklist fan as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I watch that. My wife doesn't like that show, but that's my go-to if I just want to be alone.
Totally. That's great. Yeah. This Is Us. Who would have known that a crock pot would make a national discussion, you know?
So fun. My wife unplugged everything that night in our house.
Exactly. I know. I think that happened across the country. I was like, we need to get rid of our crock pots. Why do we have these? You know? So, that's fun. And people who don't know, aren't watching that show, have no idea what we're talking about. So, that's great. Thank you so much for I'm super inspired by what's happening at Element. Thank you, Jeff, for taking time out to be here today. If people want to get in touch with you or with the church, what's the best way for them to do that?
If they want to follow me, they can on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, Jeff G. Manis, M-A-N-E-S-S. Website is jeffmanis.com. And then our church is elementchurchwy.com.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you being here today.
Absolutely. Thanks, Rich.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Don't be shy. We'd love to connect. Check out Unseminary Inbox. You can sign up at unseminary.com and we'll send you helpful training resources every week. Plus, you'll gain immediate access to our exclusive members area with tons of resources you can use. Connect with Rich on Twitter at Rich Birch or through email rich@unseminary.com. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode at unseminary.com. It includes links to what we talked about today and more. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Did you enjoy today's episode? Drop by iTunes and leave a review. Thanks again for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Join us next week when we'll learn more stuff we wish they taught in seminary.